This is OTB AM.
Can Cork out Kerry again? Here I am asking two Kerry men. I'm stupid. I mean, it's the stupidest question I've ever asked in my life. You're both going to be, oh, yeah, of course.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good. That's some endorsement. When you look at Paul O'Connell in terms of his coaching career, he's obviously been in some Ireland camps, been involved with the under-20s, some involvement with the Munster Academy previously, and obviously his time at Stade. Seems to have dabbled and stepped away then again at times. This could be the ideal fit, but is it fair to say, Alan, that he's getting the job more because of his playing credentials rather than what he's served so far in terms of his time as a coach?
Yeah, he doesn't have a big CV from coaching, so it's a little bit different for him. I think there's a confidence there, though, that I said this on News Talk's radio this morning and the breakfast show, that Paul has practically coached the Munster lineup for 12 years and the Irish lineup for 12, 13 years. So I don't think there's as much emphasis and focus on a forwards coach when you have very experienced players who understand the lineout inside out. You don't have to technically coach them on lifting and blocking and in the mall and, you know, move speed and movements, the gaps that you want to leave and all that kind of stuff, because they self-police that themselves. And that's a brilliant place for any forwards coach to be, where you go in and you're involved in the line and you just fine tune it. Whereas I just think the Irish team needs a little bit more guidance, experience and real life experience of a player being there, and he needs to steer them and organize them in a better way. I've said this for a while, and you know, there's a lot of talk about Ireland's attack, but the lineout is the perfect weapon to launch attacks from. And it's not about winning the lineout at the ball at the front of the lineout, Adrian. It's about how can you get middle to back lineout quality ball delivered on a play to the scrum half, who players can run onto it and attack, and it's harder to defend. And you go back to that English game, Ireland had 8 lineouts. They won 4, lost 4. The 4 they won were quite sloppy. They were quite sloppy.
Can he fix that?
Yes, because I'll tell you what he can do in very simple terms. And going back to the great statement that he made in Croke Park, where he puts the fear of God in people and the players around him, he'll put the fear of God in every player there, that they know their role inside out, and there will be no room for complacency as regards, I forgot the line out, or I didn't understand that one, and you know, the lift was half-hearted, and you know, it should have been better. Of course you're going to come up against good lineouts and teams and top quality opposition who are going to try and master your lineout and figure out where you throw it. And sometimes you call a ball and the lineout caller has to hold his hand up and say, look, it was a bad call, or else the opposition did brilliantly. But too often than last, even though our percentage level has been high in our lineouts and what we're winning, it's where we're winning and the type of delivery. So, you know, his coaching CV is very small, but he's done this. He's been in amongst the players, which is exactly what you want to do, to put pressure on them about the spacing, like half a yard here or there, like, I mean, up and down the Irish lineout, can make a massive difference. One step, if a player is too close, Jenny, should be a step back as regards a position you can win the ball in. It makes a massive, massive difference. So he'll break all that down. And I think, you know, if you come into a lineout, you can imagine Paul O'Connell and Devin Toner, your two seconders for Ireland at the moment, and a lineout coach comes in to coach them. He has very little to do because they're self-policing already. They're already putting pressure on the props, the back rowers. They're running the line-out. But what he'll do now is he'll come in and he'll give that experience of leadership, not just for James Ryan, who's potentially is the caller, or Ian Henderson, or Ryan Baird, or Peter O'Mahony, or Caelan Doris, whoever. But he has to develop more leaders who can actually call the lineout. So if one of them gets injured, there's a seamless transition into running a lineout. And it sounds very easy, but it's so complex. And that goes down to
Quinny, can I ask you on that, just, and Owen might want to come back on Paul O'Connell in a second, but just as a slight tangent to what you've said there, just in relation to specifically the roles of those involved in the lineout, like primarily the hooker, and you're saying maybe there's been at times a lack of quality communication or understanding of what the role is, which points a light for me back on Simon Easterby. And it just struck me as you were talking, you know, obviously it's been broken up to this point. They've now decided that Paul O'Connell is amongst the things he's going to do is help fix the lineout. And I don't know that that reflects amazingly well on Simon Easterby, who they've moved over now to a defence role, and to say he's very excited about that. It, like, if they needed a defence coach at that level, surely they'd be looking to bring somebody in who's a specialist in that area. It looks like an unusual sideways move.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, because Simon is as the defence reform for Scarlets. He's actually a very inspirational guy himself. He's quieter. He's not a line-out expert to the level of Paul O'Connell. I've said this many times. Paul O'Connell is Victor Matfield, Steve Borthwick, Ali Williams, these kind of players who are, you know, Nathan Sharp for Australia. These are guys who are world-class at what they did, running a line-out, specifically making the calls, not just calling a ball at 2, 4, and 6, but figuring out how the opposition are defending, what they're doing, and how you combat that and how you go against that and how you attack from that. So it sounds quite simplistic, a lineout that you just throw it to the guy at the front of the line and you win your ball and it's great. But it adds to your attack and the whole thing. Simon wouldn't have been a specialist lineout caller. He wouldn't have been someone who ran the lineout. He wouldn't have been someone. Of course, you can coach the line-out and you can run the... But to get down to the real nitty-gritty stuff, like, I'll give you an example. I walked into line-outs with Munster, with Paul, and both of us called line-outs together. So he called the full line-outs, I called the shortened line-outs where I would have stood at scrum half. And I had a better vision of where the opposition were defending, and we had hand signals, buzzwords, and calls. And, you know, walking into a full lineup with Paul O'Connell, I actually knew most probably where he was going to call the ball based on what the opposition, the way they were defending, because I was up to speed at his level. So what he has to do, and to explain this as simply as I can, is you ideally you want all the forwards, obviously, but the 8 that are starting and the guys on the bench, nearly before any call is made, having a fair idea what call he's going to bring, where it's going to be called to, because they can look at the opposition. And this is down to props and backers, who traditionally wouldn't be the guy winning the ball in the air. But so it's just bringing everyone up a level and making sure their knowledge and understanding. It's the understanding. It's not an ability to learn calls and know, well, this movement, that movement is that's call, this call and that call. It's actually having an ability that they really understand the lineout. And they nearly know where it's going to be called before it is called. And Paul has a great ability to do that. So it may seem a little bit awkward for Simon Easterby. And, you know, I'm sure he's done a brilliant job with him. But, and he'll acknowledge himself, this guy is at a different level of running a lineout. I've been there week in, week out with him, down in the south of France, playing with Munster, where the crowd are going crazy and there's a calmness about him. Now, you know, I've commentated a few years ago, and I remember one game in Wales where Ireland lost, and one or two calls, Paul, he of course, anybody can make a mistake and call a line-out in the heat of the battle, but he's the first to acknowledge and beat himself up over that. So even in their reviews, it'll be explained, and it'll be, you know, I just think it was too good for them not to bring him in. And, you know, it's a big job coaching, and in fairness, you know, he'll get scrutinized very, very hard. And, you know, if Ireland's lineup doesn't go that well in the Six Nations, you know, there'll be pressure on him. But I think this is an opportunity. A lot of these players will respect him as well.
Is Paul O'Connell's ambition to be a head coach one day?
I don't know. And Paul will tell you nothing. you know, I think there's a big job and big role in being a head coach, and everyone acknowledges that. It's a 6 o'clock in the morning job till a 10 o'clock at night, even when you're at home. You can never switch off. Now, Paul gets so stuck into things that I'm sure he's working on Ireland lineouts already and analysing the players. And so, yeah, of course he has the ability to do that. It's just depending on whether he wants it. But I think he has those natural leadership qualities, which, of course, it's different being a coach. You can be a great player and a great leader as a captain, but you've got to translate it a little bit differently, and you've got to understand your players. Not everybody, you can't slap everybody in the back. You have to put your arm around some guys, and you have to caress them and move them different ways. And, you know, you have to get an understanding, and you get experience with that, how you treat people and stuff. So Paul is fiery. He'll put massive pressure on guys, but the pressure, he's probably got to understand this, and this is something as a captain you learn, is how you deal with guys, because giving out to guys or being hard on them can take away their little bit of confidence, and they can shrink a little bit. Other guys love it, love being challenged. So it's a big picture on and learning all that kind of stuff. I had fights with Paul over him shouting in the dressing room or saying different things to people and trying to say some guys are different. They just want to chill out before a game. I remember one game in Cork, he came screaming around the dressing room. Myself and John Hayes were having a grand chat. We were laughing and joking. And he wanted everyone's game face on, like, ever before we went out for the warm-up. And I remember having a chat afterwards saying, that was my way of keeping my bit of calmness. It wasn't that I wasn't focused. And, you know, he acknowledged that. But look, Paul is a brilliant coach. He's a brilliant leader. And I think he'll bring these guys on to a level where they need to get to, because I think they're lacking in confidence. We've seen a lot of movement on in the Irish lineout in the last year. And for me, a lot of movement means there's a bit of lack of confidence there, and they're just going through calls for the sake of it. Why is the movement happening, I would ask? Why is there a need for it? Sometimes you have to have movement and different sort of stuff, but our lineout has become a little bit slow, a little bit pedestrian. And, you know, Mauro Itoje and Joe Launchbury, with all due respect to them, they destroyed that any chance of us playing well in Twickenham in November, because they unsettled our lineout so much. And they're not the best defensive lineout operators in the world. They're brilliant rugby players, but they're not the best defensive lineout operators. So there needs to be way more clarity. There needs to be, you need to expand the lineout leadership group, an ability for guys to call the lineout right across the back row. So if your 2 seconders are not calling it, one of your back rows can actually make the calls. We've relied too much on, you know, Paul has developed players as a player. Dunica Ryan, someone when I started out, Dunica was so quiet. He didn't really, he was a good lineout operator, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't someone who was a lineout caller. I didn't really see that in him. But as the years went on, he suddenly became more dominant, confident, and went away and studied unbelievably. Dunica's a real student of the game and became this lineout caller who can walk into a lineout for Racing now and just be calm and call it to the right areas. Mick O'Driscoll, brilliant lineout operator. Devin Toner. And lots of guys have said they've learned from Paul, you know. So the challenge is now translating that message as a coach, because he's now going to have people who are going to, it's not buddy-buddy time anymore. You know, he's going to be making a decision and telling Andy Farrell, well, he's a selector effectively now. He's going to be selecting guys in that pack as well.
Yeah, I should say it's 9:07 on this Friday morning. OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning, start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Ulster against Leinster this weekend is the game I just want to focus on for a moment. It's a very interesting Leinster team, but there's also been some very interesting comments coming from the Ulster camp this week. Dan McFarland was asked if he feels sorry for Leo Cullen's plight, I think was the question, about how ex-Leinster players are performing so well for Connacht and Ulster with that little bit of incentive to play well against their former province. His response: do I feel sorry for Leo? Of course I don't. He sat amongst 10 or 12 of the wealthiest schools in the country, ploughing people with rich families through the schools, churning out bursaries to the best prospects. Do I feel sorry for him? That's hilarious. A little bit of needle here, Alan, between Dan McFarland and Leo Cullen, it seems.
He's only telling the truth, though, isn't he? And I don't think he means it in too disrespectfully towards sure. Leo. Look, I said this before. If I was Leo Cullen, head coach of Leinster, it's frustrating to lose some of your players. I think particularly the ones you really want to keep. You can't keep every player. And there's a number of players in all the provinces. And that's what's happening. And that's going to continue to happen because Leinster produced so many players. And the school system in Dublin is the envy of people right across Europe because they're like mini academies, essentially. These players are given proper nutrition advice, their availability to brilliant gyms, fitness coaches, ex-international players, top quality coaches who are working with them on an individual basis as well. So when they come out of school, they're far more developed and rounded as players than the other provinces because they're getting that time and investment and the money is there in these schools. And that's just the way it is, and that's the reality. There's a couple of players Leo has lost in the last couple of years that will really frustrate. The most high-profile one is probably Joey Carberry, who's someone who probably could have started as a fullback and has played loads and loads of games and end up playing loads, which he did before he left. But I think it was down to him wanting to start as a 10. And, so fringe players, not a problem. But I think if you lose one or two of your starters that you want to keep, it's very difficult. So it's a reality what he's saying. It's plain for everybody to see that they have more players to choose from and they are going to produce more players. And I don't think Leo Cullen's looking for pity because he knows that. And their system, which is fantastic and what it's done and the way they get the players probably at a more advanced stage because they're essentially in mini academies in all the schools. So it'll spice it up a little bit. But if I was an ex-Leinster player playing against Leinster, of course you want to play well. You want to, in an ideal world, they would be playing back in their own province, but they've integrated into Munster, Ulster, Connacht and these players. And of course, they'd want to get one up in their old province for sure.
Yep. All right. Lots of interesting games as well this weekend. We're out of time, Quinny. Thanks a million. Enjoy the rugby over the
weekend.
Thanks,
lads. Cheers.
Thanks a lot.
OTB AM. With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go, snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.